The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you know, Rishi Sunak yesterday called a surprise general election scheduled for the 4th of July, just over a month away. It will see Sir Keir Starmer push to win power for Labour after 14 years of Conservative government. I'm joined by George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times. George, good morning.
Good morning.
Was it a shock for MPs to learn they were going to the country?
Yes, a complete shock. I think most people were taken by surprise. Most Conservative MPs had expected the election to be held in the autumn. All the signs were that Rishi Sunak was going to play it long, that no prime minister in their right mind would go to the country when they're trailing by 20 points or 25 points, whatever it is, behind the Labour Party. But he pulled the plug and did it yesterday. So it came as a great surprise to everyone at Westminster, I think.
So your analysis, George, why did he do it?
Well, you have to work out the pros of playing it long against the risks. And I think in the end, the risks were far greater. The initial thinking was he waited until the autumn. You hope the economic recovery started to feed through into people's pay packets. People started to feel a bit better off. But they looked at the economic data. And actually, over the next few months, it probably isn't going to get an awful lot better. Inflation might start to tick up a bit. Despite the fact it's come down sharply recently. Interest rates look like they're a bit further away than interest rate cuts look like they were further away than many people had hoped for. And crucially, they didn't have enough money in the kitty to fund any tax cuts in the autumn, which was one of the ideas they had, the idea of a big sort of tax bribe to the electorate just before the election. So that wasn't on the cards. So with the economic upside sort of disappearing, they looked at the risks, and the risks were that the party just started to looked like it was marching to defeat. You get more defections of MPs to the Labour Party, more people moping around looking like they were heading for defeat for sure. And I think in the end, they just decided to rip off the plaster and Rishi Sunak went for it.
Now, Rishi Sunak knows that he's toast then. His political career is effectively over. Do we know whether he really had an appetite to continue? Having reached the highest office in the land, there's nowhere else to go. So if you head for the opposition benches, it could be a wilderness for quite some years.
Yeah, lots of people thought that having achieved the highest office in the land, he would basically sort of want to cling on to it as long as possible. You know, he became prime minister in October 2022. People thought, you know, if he went through to the autumn, at least he would have done 2 years. That wouldn't look too bad. Instead of which, he sort of tried to get out on the front foot and look like he's being bold and decisive in calling this election. If he loses, and as I said, the opinion poll suggests he will lose, I don't think he'll be hanging around. I think he'll resign pretty much the day after the election. And many Tory MPs assume that before too long, he will resign as an MP and possibly head back to his old home in Santa Monica, California.
And it's no secret he does not need the money.
He doesn't need the money. I think the most recent Sunday Times rich list had he and his wife as being richer than the king. So, yeah, not short of a bob or two.
Now, is there a possibility that he detected some weakness for Labour in the ongoing conflict in Gaza and how that might be playing within the Labour Party, and therefore there might be some seats that are winnable in constituencies where that issue is divisive?
It's certainly a factor in this election, for sure. Keir Starmer has been heavily criticised by some natural Labour supporters for taking what they regard as an excessively pro-Israel stance on the war in Gaza. And that has seen some potential Labour voters peeling off to other parties, including the Greens, including George Galloway's Workers' Party. To be honest, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference in this election campaign. The kind of areas where the Gaza war is a big factor, particularly inner city areas with large Muslim populations, tend to be rock solid Labour seats in any event. So even if the Labour Party lost some voters because of the Gaza war, it's pretty unlikely in seats like inner city Bradford, for example, that the Conservatives would be the beneficiaries.
Sure. Now, what about the campaign issues? I would not like to be going to the country as leader of a Conservative Party where my main plank of campaigning was Rwanda and flying people off to Africa.
No. And in fact, this morning, Pat, I don't know whether you were across this, but Rishi Sunak's been forced to admit that there won't be any flights to Rwanda before the election. this was a policy you may remember was originally proposed in April 2022. So they've been talking about it for 2 years. And Rishi Sunak's message to the voters is basically just if you vote us back in, then it will really, really happen, honestly. The Tories are saying that the first flights will begin in the first 2 weeks of July, but Sunak has confirmed that probably not in the first 3 days of July, which, of course, the election's been set for July the 4th. So it's kind of vote for us and the migrants will go to Rwanda. The likelihood, as I said, is that Labour will win the election, cancel the scheme immediately, and that'll be several hundred million quid down the drain.
Now, what is the polling saying about the Labour Party and how that would transfer into seats won? Because with your first-past-the-post system in the UK, it means any lead becomes decisive in seat numbers.
Yeah, that's true. The polling at the moment suggests a sizeable Labour majority. Quite often we see the polls narrow in the course of campaigns, and I think that's what the Conservatives are hoping is going to happen this time, that a 20-point poll lead might come down to a 10-point lead. But then we'd be talking about the difference between, you know, a very big Labour majority or a slender one. You can still get 7-1 at the bookmakers for there being a hung parliament, which is probably about as best at the moment that the Conservatives can hope for. But, you know, the prospects of a Labour majority victory have rated at 10-1 on in the bookmakers. So it's, at the moment, you know, certainly all the odds are pointing towards a sizeable Labour majority for Keir Starmer. And bear in mind, this will be the first Labour victory at a general election since 2005. So it would be a big moment for the country.
Now, what about other parties and how they might play into the final numbers game? The Liberal Democrats and also in Scotland, the SNP, and how Labour will fare there?
Yes, well, on the Liberal Democrats, first of all, the problem the Conservatives have is that they're fighting on several different fronts. Most of the country, they're up against Labour, of course. But in their prosperous southern heartlands, the Liberal Democrats are best placed to beat the Tories and are confident of doing so in a number of seats. So it's possible the Lib Dems could pick up 30 or even 40 seats on a good night. So they are a threat to the Conservative Party. In Scotland, it's a crucial part of Keir Starmer's route to number 10, winning seats back off the Scottish National Party. When Tony Blair used to win elections, he used to win 40, 50-odd seats in Scotland. In 2019, under Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour Party just won one seat in Scotland. Now, because of the SNP's travails that you know all about, the Labour Party are very confident of doing well in Scotland, possibly winning upwards of 30 seats this time round. So, you know, a big moment in Scottish politics as well.
Outside number 10 yesterday, they were playing Things Can Only Get Better. You probably saw that on the news. So people rejoicing to see the back of this Tory government. I mean, how deeply unpopular are they?
Well, if you look at the opinion polls at the moment, Rishi Sunak's Conservatives are polling worse than Liz Truss's Conservatives back in the dark days of the autumn of 2022 after that disastrous mini-budget. So the opinion poll suggests that the party, the public have had enough. This feels, at this stage at least, like it's a big change election, that people just want to change the personnel, give the other lot a chance. They are unpopular. Tory politicians say it's not so much that people are angry with them anymore, because, to be fair to Sunak, after the Truss episode, he's stabilised things a bit. He's now returning to growth, inflation's under control. There's a bit more of a professional mood about the place. But it's more that people have stopped listening. That's what people often say. Conservative MPs have been out the doorstep. People just don't want to hear from us anymore. They've tuned us out. Whatever we say, it's blah, blah, blah. And that's quite a deadly moment for any political party, to be frank.
So then, George, let us presume, and it's not too wild a presumption, that the Tories lose this election, Labour takes power. What about the landscape post-election? You know, who would lead the Tories? What of Nigel Farage? Is he likely to feature in some bid to take the Tory party?
The general assumption is that the Conservative Party, if they lose, will descend into sort of factional infighting, in which the Tory right will end up being victorious, mainly because the party leader is chosen by party members who tend to be more right-wing than the party MPs generally, and certainly more right-wing than the country as a whole. And in that situation, you know, you could see a scenario where someone like Nigel Farage rejoins the Conservative Party and at some point tries to take it over and Reform UK takes it over. One bit of Farage news, which is just breaking actually, Pat, you might be interested to know, is that Farage just issued a statement saying that he won't be playing a big part in the British general election for Reform UK. that he's not standing for Parliament. And in fact, he's going to spend most of his time over in the States covering or taking part in the US presidential election. So that would be some relief, I think, to Rishi Sunak for sure, that, you know, one of their worst fears was that Nigel Farage would re-enter the fray and become a big figure in this general election.
All right. Well, it'll be a very interesting time in British politics, that's for sure, as the election progresses and then the aftermath as government is formed. But for the moment, George Parker, Financial Times political editor, thank you very much for joining us.